Yesterday there was a group of people, Patriots came from another province, paid respect to me. And I asked the question, what is the reason for us to be born? And the answer was, to die. So, we can ask ourselves, what is the reason for us to die? To be born again. And then we have the whole circle. And we have the whole circle of samsara, born, die, born, die, born, die, or what I call the hamster wheel, running, running, but not going anywhere. Or sometimes, we can call it, the roller coaster of life. One time we go up in the heavenly, then we go down in the hell, and then we come back as a human, then we go back up again, and then we go, then we go back down again, So, roller coaster of life. And there are 31 realms of existence, so we can go up and we can go down, We can go up very, very high and we can fall down very low, But let's talk about just about this human realm. That is one of the realms. One of the realms where we can send, where we can create so much boon that we can go up for heaven for a long time, or we can create so much demerit that we can go to hell for a long time. And that can, that we can do within an hour of our life, and we have many, many hours of our life, When we think about the human birth, we are born, as a baby, What are we doing? First we learn to walk, Then we learn to talk, then we learn to read, then we learn to write, Then we learn to think. And it takes about 15 years, 15 years of training this body before we can use the body in full strength. Maybe 16 years or 18 years. 18 years training this body. What are we doing then? Train for a profession, go to the university, train for a higher profession. And then we start working until we are retired. Once we are retired, what do we do? We're waiting for death to come. Just wasting our time, doing this, doing that, thinking this is important, thinking that is important. And then we die. And whatever we have accomplished in this life, no matter what kind of profession we had, maybe we started to be an engineer. The moment we die, everything is gone. All the wealth that we have, that we have acquired, all the fame that we have acquired, all the power that we have acquired, the moment we're dead, it's all gone. And the next life, we have to start over again. It's not that, we train this body for one lifetime, and the next time, we just pop into the body, of 16-year or 18-year-old. No. We have to train it again and again and again. And then we have to, we want to become an engineer again. We have to train for that again, to become an engineer. Or politicians, or a doctor, or whatever. Or we have to acquire the wealth again, For what? Because when we die, everything is gone. And we do that. How many lifetimes have we done this? Lifetime over lifetime over lifetime. And when we look, when we look at that, what are we actually doing? What is it? What kind of worth? What kind of worth? What kind of value do we gather? We get up in the morning, We don't want to get up, already some dukkha, We get hungry, then we need to eat. Yeah? Being hungry is dukkha. Yeah? Being thirsty is dukkha. Yeah? Also we drink something. Needing to go to the toilet is dukkha. Yeah? And then we are tired and it's dukkha. Yeah? And it's just this dukkha of the body. So for what? You know, for what are we doing? Yeah? We are playing, you know, we are playing along, you know. I mean, we just follow, you know, follow our desires, yeah. Wanting this, wanting that, not wanting this, not wanting that. Want to become, you know, and not wanting to become, yeah. Wanting to be, you know, fame, you know. I mean, being a great author, you know, like, you know. But, yeah, I mean, think about, you know, I mean, think about Goethe or Shakespeare, you know, or Lessing, you know. When they're dead, you know, I mean, all this is gone. The fame is gone, you know. I mean, it lasts for a while, but they are not reborn, you know, that quickly so that they can gather. And even if they're reborn, they don't remember it. They study Goethe or they study Shakespeare, you know, and think, oh, wow, this is a great man, you know, but they can't remember that they, you know, actually wrote these pieces, you know. So if they have to retrain everything, yeah. And the only thing at the end of our life, you know, that goes with us, you know, into the next life, is the good karma, you know, or the bad karma that we created through our actions, through our words, you know, or through our thoughts. You know? This is coming, you know, this is going with us. You know? And, yeah, and of course some of the skills, yeah. I mean, if you train for the first time in your life, you know, to become an engineer, it is very, very tough, yeah. Yeah? It's just like learning a language, yeah. Well, just take the example, yeah. I mean, I learned quite a few languages, you know, French was one of the languages. Yeah, I was able to read a book. Now I can't speak it anymore, yeah. I mean, but, you know, it would take me, you know, it would take me half a year or maybe 1 year, you know, until I get proficient again. So, I mean, the skill, you know, the skill is still there. But the longer, yeah, the longer I wait, you know, the longer I wait, the longer, the more time passes, the less of this, you know, the less of this knowledge, you know, is there. Yeah? So you have to relearn, yeah. Even if you learn a language, you know, and so it's the same thing, yeah. It's the same thing, you know, with the engineering skill or with the doctor skill, yeah. But if you do it lifetime after lifetime, each time it becomes a little bit easier. So it's a long, long time. And the same thing holds true with our practice, yeah, with our meditation. So with this life, I mean, we work really, really hard, you know, I mean, 10, 12 hours a day until, you know, until we die, yeah. And because of the merit that we have done, we might have a very good life. So we don't even think about practicing anymore, yeah. I mean, we might go to heaven, you know, it's so nice, you know, I mean, we forget everything. And then we come back as a human being, you know, maybe still enjoy some of our good karma, you know, so we don't see any necessity for, you know, for practicing, yeah. And what do? Yeah, well, we enjoy our life. We run after our senses because that's the only thing we do. I mean, we like to taste, you know, okay, yeah. We like to have this kind of food or that kind of food, yeah. But in the moment we ate it, you know, the taste is gone. So we have to taste it again, and taste it again, and taste it again, and taste it again. We hear it again, and hear it again. We see it again, and again, and again, and again. Because the senses are of fleeting nature, yeah. So we have to do things over and over and over again, yeah. That is, you know, and that's what we're hankering after. That's when you look at the world, you know, that's what they're hankering after, yeah? After the senses, you know, seeing, you know, hearing, yeah? Smelling and tasting, yeah? Touching, you know, and the thought and the sense of thinking, yeah? I mean, lots of people love to think, you know, think about it, you know, invent, yeah, think about this, have this idea, that idea, great ideas, you know? But they're all gone. So we have to rethink it, and we have to redo it, you know, all over. Yeah. So when we look really with very clear eyes, you know, I mean, what is the sense? Yeah? What is the purpose? Yeah? What is the purpose in hankering after these senses? And what is the purpose in acquiring fame or acquiring power or wealth or this? You know, if all after our life is gone, you know, it's all over. Huh? What is the purpose of it? The only thing, you know, as I said, that we can take with us is, you know, is karma. Yeah, is merit and demerit. Yeah, and that is, you know, that determines our next life. But there is one exception. There's one achievement. All the material achievements, all, you know, the physical achievements are gone when we die. But there are three kinds of achievements that are not gone. And these are spiritual achievements, and that is the achievement of Sotapanna. If you read Sotapanna in this life, in the next life, you're still Sotapanna. If you're or stream entry. If you're a once returner in this life, you know, in the next life, you're still a once returner. Even if you are Nakami, you still have, you know, five more lives to live, you know. You still are an Anagami in the next life. The exception is the Arahant because he doesn't get reborn again. All the others are getting reborn, but, you know, the Anagami doesn't get reborn in the in the physical world anymore. So that is the only achievement, you know, I mean, at last over death. Yeah? That death cannot, you know, evaporate, yeah? Or erase. These are spiritual achievements. Everything else, you know, I mean, diminishes, will be pretty much completely erased, yeah. Not completely, but, you know, pretty much erased, yeah. Even our meditation skill. When I look at my own life, you know, how long did it take until I get back into samadhi? I must have trained it, you know, I mean, I don't know how many lifetimes. But it took me 1.5 years or 2 years, you know, I mean, to get back into samadhi. And it was really, really hard, yeah. It wasn't easy, you know, I had to really do it, yeah. I had to really put lots of effort, yeah. And that is the same thing, you know. When you think about it, even if you practice until the end, you know, till the end of your life, you know, I mean, next life, yeah. I mean, if you can continue in your next life, you know, instantly with it, you know, some people can, yeah. I mean, that is very seldom. Some people can, you know, continue, you know, determine, you know, next life, you know, and then with six or seven years, they become a monk, you know, become a novice, and then train again, and then it is much easier. It's just like my, you know, my language French, you know, if I pick it up in 5-10 years, you know, it's much, much easier than after 40 or 50 years, yeah. So, but most of the time, you know, I mean, yeah. It's difficult. Practice is difficult. You know, I mean, I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to see this. I want to see that. Yeah, hankering after our senses. You know, so we forget about the practice. You know, until you know, 3 or 4 lifetimes later, and you think, oh, so much dukkha. I mean, I have to practice. Yeah? So. Think about it very clearly, yeah? I mean, what, you know, when you see it very clearly, yeah, until the end of the day. What is it, you know, that is really valuable? What is it, what I want to take with me into my next life, yeah? am I not only hankering after the fleeting sensations, yeah? The sensations of seeing, of hearing, going here, going there, going to this place or going to that place. I mean, whichever place you go into this, in this world, you know, I mean, what you see is trees, you know, nature, you know, you see people and houses. It's the same thing. Oh, you see a beach, you see the sun and you see the sky. Wherever you go, it's the same. So, why to go there, yeah? Because it looks different to us, yeah? We don't evaluate it, we don't investigate it, you know. I mean, people are people, you know, no matter where you go. Yeah, the sky is the sky, you know, no matter where you go. Houses are houses, you know. They're house people, you know. I mean, no matter where you go. So, why go, yeah? What is the purpose, yeah? Or what is the purpose, you know, constantly eating the same kind of food, yeah? Unless, you know, unless you want to nourish the body, you know, then of course you have to eat food, yeah? But, you know, this kind of taste, that kind of taste, you know, the Thais are very good, you know? This tastes a little bit different, yeah, now I have to try it. This taste, yeah? Oh, no, I haven't tasted this. Yeah, that is hankering after the senses, yeah? And the senses are of fleeting nature. Well, what are we doing, yeah? We should ask ourselves, what are we doing, you know? What are we doing with our life, you know? At least, you know, at least try, yeah? Try to get as close as possible, or even, you know, get one of the achievements that last over death, you know, that overlasts the death, yeah? That is a stream entry, you know, or once return, or, you know, or anagami, yeah? Let's go for this goal, you know, because that, even after we die, you know, we still have this achievement. Every other achievement, we have to retrain and retrain and retrain again. Each lifetime, you know, each lifetime we become a human being, and most of the time, it's just where we train, is it in the human life, yeah? And as a human being, in the human realm, yeah? That's where we train, yeah? And for what purpose? You know, look at the world, you know. I mean, they're all after, you know, hankering, you know, wealth, fame, you know, power, you know, whatever. Or wanting to become, you know, an engineer, wanting to become a doctor, you know. I mean, yeah, maybe there are some good intentions, you know, helping other people, or a social worker helping other people. Yeah, that creates good karma. But, you know, I mean, the profession... Everything that we did, you know, when we die, is gone. Yeah? And we have to redo it again. And especially a human birth, it's not easy, yeah? I mean, think about how long it takes, you know, to train this human body, yeah? Before we can actually use it, yeah? 16, 18 years, you know, until it has full strength. And how long does the strength last? Huh? Maybe 30, 40 years. And then it goes down, slowly goes down. We work, you know, I mean, we work for this body, you know, I mean, we are concerned about this body. We never investigate what kind of pleasure does the body bring us. I mean, think about, you know, eating. Okay, the body brings the pleasure of eating. But if we are full, we don't want to eat. So where's the pleasure? The pleasure is stopping the hunger. Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, these Westerners coming to Thailand, you know, going to the beach, you know, heating themselves up in the sun, you know, until they can't stand the heat anymore, and then going into the cold water until they can't stand the cold anymore, and going back, you know, lying on the beach, you know, smoldering in the sun, you know, until they can't stand the heat anymore. In the evening, they're very tired, you know, but it was so wonderful. The opposite of it, you know, the dukkha, yeah, the dukkha that is created, you know, through the excessive, yeah, just like when we overeat, you know, that dukkha is created, yeah. The dukkha that is created, yeah, is relieved, yeah. The dukkha of hunger is relieved by eating. Yeah? If we eat too much, then we create more dukkha. Yeah? Overeating. Then we need to take medicine or do this or do that, you know. And that's the same thing. These opposites, you know, of dukkha and sukha, you know. I mean, it's actually, you know, sukha is just the relief of dukkha. Yeah? That's what we think. You know, that's what we don't investigate. Yeah? It's these extremes, you know, that we love, you know. I mean, people love these extremes, yeah. Extreme sports or whatever it is, yeah. Extreme, 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 yeah. One extreme to the other extreme. It's the same, you know, extreme from, you know, when you're in a high heaven, you know, falling into a hell, you know, that's also extreme. But if you go from hell, you know, to heaven, that is another extreme. But we love these extremes, you know, because that gives us a sense of existence. Because if something is constant, you know, I mean, there wouldn't be any existence. Yeah? Everything is constant, constant, constant all the time, you know. I mean, there would be no excitement in our life. Excitement is only when it is positive or negative. Negative excitement is anger, you know. Positive excitement, you know, can be lust, you know, or can be anything else. Yeah? That's what we're hankering after. But they are changing. Yeah? They are anicca. Yeah? They are anatta. Yeah? They are not me, not mine, not myself. Yeah? Because we can see them. We have to investigate. We have to investigate the purpose of our life and make the right decision. Yeah? Not to waste, you know. I mean, how difficult is it to become a human, to become a human being? It is not easy. Yeah? And if we think about it, you know, I mean, what I just talked about, you know, I mean, retraining, each life you have to retrain. I mean, it takes 16 eons, you know, 60, around 60 eons in order to become an Arahant from the first moment we decide. 60 eons of lifetimes of training. This life we train, you know, and then we, oh, I'm so tired, you know, then we rest for three lifetimes, then we train again, you know, and then we rest again, and then we train again, and then we rest again, and then we train again, until we come, you know, we come into the last life, you know, where we just train, until we, you know, until we reach, you know, the Arahantship, yeah? Until we reach Sotapanna or Sakadagami, Anagami, and then Arahant, yeah? I mean, it takes a long time. And this is what I wanted to describe, you know. I mean, this retraining process. Huh? So take the most of it, you know. And I mean, determine, you know, that your next life, you know, you want to be, yeah, in a place where there is still the Dhamma, yeah. And to train again, yeah. And to train full time. Huh? So the sooner you get out, the better. Unless, you know, unless you enjoy this kind of hankering after the sense pleasures. If you enjoy this, you know, it's fine. Yeah? I mean, I have no problems with that, you know, for you. It's your decision. Yeah? But for me, thinking about, you know, just thinking about, you know, going through my childhood again, through all this dukkha, through all, you know, because we don't only have sukha, yeah? We don't only have happiness, you know. I mean, there's a lot of dukkha. A lot of dukkha in training this body, you know, a lot of dukkha with our environment, with our, you know, with our relatives, with our family, with our father, with our mother, with our brothers, with our sisters, with our colleagues, with other students, you know, I mean, so much, yeah. And when I just think about it, you know, I said, no, I don't want it anymore, yeah. Not anymore, you know. Let's be this, the last life, yeah. So I put the utmost effort. And whenever I got tired of it, you know, I asked, so you want to be born again? Yeah, so you're tired, you don't want to work anymore? No, you want to be born again? No. Okay, then go on. Then go through the difficulties. Yeah? And there are some difficult times in our practice. Yeah? The practice of samadhi, you know, I mean, can be difficult, but it can also be rewarding. Yeah. The practice of investigation, you know, I mean, it is really difficult. It was really difficult. 9 months for, you know, just nearly, you know, nearly 9 hours or 10 hours a day with 2 or 3 hours in samadhi, practicing investigation of the body. Yeah? To see, you know, the body is the body and has nothing to do with me, the one who owns the body. Yeah? But with the body comes the senses. That is a problem. That is really a problem. But to see the body as not me, not mine, and not myself, that it's just, you know, that it's just a vehicle, just a tool, yeah? One of the tools, you know, that are given to us. Yeah? The tools of, you know, the tools of the body, yeah? The tools of feeling, the tools of memories and association and tool of thinking and consciousness. Yeah, these are the toolbox that we can use, you know, to hanker after the fleeting pleasures, you know, or senses, yeah, or to use the same tools, you know, I mean, to gain freedom from dukkha. Yeah? So it is up to you. Yeah, decide what you want to do with your life, you know, and yeah. No, yeah, just be aware, you know, I mean, that when you die, you know, I mean, you don't know, yeah, when you're going to take up this practice again, yeah. And if you take up this practice, you know, you have to retrain, yeah. Even though, you know, the retraining will be easier each time we do it, yeah, but it's still retrain, yeah. Still a lot of dukkha to retrain this, yeah. Retrain meditation, retrain, you know, investigation, yeah. Before it really clicks, yeah. Once it clicks, and then it's fine, yeah. Then we are back in the old mode, yeah. But until we get there, you know, it's quite hard work, yeah. Okay, so I hope you understand it, you know. Take it to heart, yeah. Questions? Yeah. You have a question? Okay. Yeah. Go ahead and ask if you want to.
Yeah. I almost need a moment.
Huh?
Oh, I need a moment. So.
Yeah. Okay, just one.
Is invoking a deity for help in meditation dangerous or not helpful in Theravada?
Invoking, I mean, how can a deity, you know, if a person cannot help you with your meditation, how can a deity help you with your meditation? Yeah? I mean, actually, you close your eyes, you know, you sit down and you stay with the breath, you know, or you stay with the, you stay with the Buddha, yeah? I mean, and this is training. A deity, you know, can encourage us, just like a good friend can encourage us to practice, yeah? That's how they can help us, yeah? They can remind us, you know, what is important in our life, yeah? I mean, if one of our friends, you know, went up into the heavenly realm and we practiced in the last life together, you know, and, you know, you become yourself lazy and the deity sees it, you know, it can remind, you know, his old friend, you know, I mean, why don't you practice a little bit, yeah. That, yeah. Dangerous? No. Yeah. Well, dangerous it can become if the deity is deluded, you know, and try to teach us some wrong thing. Yeah. But if it just encourages us, yeah, or shows us, you know, sometimes when we go the wrong track, you know, shows us the right track, then of course it is helpful. Yeah. But then a human being is much more helpful.
You also ask if they should abstain from the other traditions like Mahayana or Vajrayana.
Yeah, I mean, it's confusing, you know. I mean, I wouldn't say, you know, I mean, I wouldn't say that you completely have to abstain, but I wouldn't follow it, yeah. I personally find it, you know, distracting, yeah. I mean, because these different traditions have different kind of forms or beliefs or, you know, practices, you know, that are not helpful. If you're in the Theravada, stick to the Theravada because that Theravada means, you know, the ways of the older, yeah. And these elders or elders, you know, are the disciples of the Buddha and who teach the way. And you see it here in Thailand, yeah. The way of the elders, you know, is the way to arahantship. I mean, yes, you know, maybe in Mahayana, you know, there's some good fortune, you know, somebody become an arahant. But, you know, what they teach, you know, I mean, I looked into some things, you know, I mean, it's just not helpful. Right? And even in Theravada, you know, I mean, a lot of people have lots of different ideas about what is the teaching, what is the path, you know. I mean, can become very destructive. So it has not only to do with, you know, with the other sects, you know, even within our own sect. You know, when I look at some of the books, and you know, I read some of the books, it's completely nonsense, yeah, what they teach. Yeah. Especially New Age. Yeah. But the New Age was in the 80s, so I don't know if you... There was a big spiritual community in England, you know, the New Age community, and in, what was it, in California and in New York, upstate New York, yeah. Okay, yeah. It's not helpful, you know, but, you know, I mean, if he wants to explore it, it is fine, you know, to explore it, yeah. But, I mean, it's confusing. It can be confusing. I saw it, you know, I mean... when I came to Wat Pabantat, you know, I mean, you know, quite very, very staunch followers, you know, of Lungta Mahabo, yeah. But some of them, you know, I mean, at that time, you know, there were a lot of arahants, yeah. So they went to this arahant, you know, he was teaching this. Went to that arahant, you know, and was teaching that. Went to the other arahant. In the end, you know, they were just making tours of arahants, you know. And, you know, each arahant teaches, has his own style of teaching, using different words, you know. And the disciples were not clever enough that seeing that the words, you know, of each arahant are actually meaning the same thing. So they thought, you know, it means different things. Oh, I should do it like this. Oh, I should do it like that. In the end, you know, I mean, their practice didn't go anywhere, didn't progress, yeah. So even from arahants who know what the path of practice is, you know, I mean, you can get confused. So stick to one that you believe, you trust, you know, and then forget about everything else. That is the way, you know, I mean, the way your practice most probably, you know, progresses, you know, the fastest. Okay?
You were talking about how people enjoy going out in the sun and then getting too hot, going too cold.
Yeah.
And it's kind of constantly chasing that anicca, the
yeah.
changing nature.
Yeah.
I've been noticing in my meditation, sticking with the breath,
yeah.
that it's been, I've been using like brute force of
yeah.
with the object,
yeah.
but the mind is kind of becoming like bored and like
yeah.
it just easily drifts away.
Yeah.
Your wandering thought and distraction.
Yeah.
I was thinking when you were saying that, perhaps I should focus on the anicca of the breath to help persuade the mind to stick with it. What are your thoughts on that?
Whatever trick is helping you to become interested in the breath. So, I mean, either you want to see the beginning of the breath, the middle of the breath, you know, the end of the breath, the changing from in-breath to out-breath, yeah? I mean, you have to find some sort of trick to make it interesting. Otherwise, it becomes boring. And don't try to force it too much, you know? I mean, where you use the force or where you use the power is when the mind goes out, yeah? So that... where you need actually force to bring it back to the Buddha. But once it just stick with the Buddha, then it's fine. You know, let it leave, you know, be it on the Buddha or be it on the breath. As long as it sticks there, you know, once it goes out again, then use some force, you know, to bring it back. Yeah. That's why I compare it, you know, I sometimes compare meditation to riding a horse. As long as the horse goes in the right direction, you don't need to, you know, use the spurs or whatever, you know, to force it to go in the right direction. But the moment it goes off the path, you know, I mean, you force it until it goes, and then you enjoy. Then you go with the step of the horse, yeah? Or with the movement of the horse. Until you see it goes out, and then you use the force to bring it back, and then you see, okay, it's working, you know, and then you follow it, you know, and then you, once it goes out again, you know, once it leaves the path, you know, I mean, you bring it back. And that's where we need, yeah, because the mind doesn't like to go back, yeah. And ask yourself, sometimes ask yourself, you know, these comments that come, who tells me it's boring? It's a kilesa trying, you know, oh, it's boring. Because you don't see, yeah? You don't see, you know, I mean the changing nature, yeah? Not the extremes, yeah, but the changing, the slowly changing nature. Once you can focus on the changing nature of the breath, that each breath is very different, yeah? Even, you know, even one breath, you know, even within one breath, it is different. It slowly, you know, increases and then it decreases, yeah? So you can see, you know, you can go really, really down, yeah? Lots of tricks. I mean, whatever trick is helping you, you know, to be focused, you know, use it, yeah? But don't use too much force on the breath or on the Buddha, yeah? Mm-hmm. Use the force to bring the mind back to the Buddha or bring the mind back to the breath, yeah? Mm-hmm. Okay?
And what are other tricks that you're aware of for staying with the breath, like persuading the mind to want to be with the breath or the object?
It's interesting. Yeah. I mean, the interest is the important thing. Lungta Mahabod just talked also about, you know, I mean, the interest. Yeah. 100% interest is 100% concentration. So find a way, you know, to get interested. Find something, you know, you want to know, you want to understand, you want to observe, you know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is, it can be anicca, it can be anatta, it can be dukkha, you know, the dukkha aspect, yeah, or the anatta aspect that you know, the one who perceives is not the one, you know, not the object perceived, yeah, or the anicca, the constant changing, yeah, nature, okay?